Let's say a word of prayer and let's begin. Dear Lord and our loving Father, I want to ask that you help this message to be clear. Please be with my words, be with our understanding, and watch over us as we start this year off too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've got a question before I begin. How many of you need to wear glasses? I'm not asking how many of you are wearing glasses, but how many of you need to wear glasses? Okay, hands down. Are there people here, and you don't need to raise your hand if you don't want to, are there people here that your doctor said, your optometrist said, you should wear glasses, but you choose not to? All right, I see a few others. I can't see you. I got glasses when I was in grade 3. And my parents didn't need glasses. Usually, if you're myopic, if you need to be nearsighted, if your parents are nearsighted, you probably will be. But my parents got glasses only later in life. I have glasses because when I was a kid, I used to play video games in a dark room about a foot away from the screen. And I would play for hours. And after doing this for a little bit, I couldn't see the board when the teacher was writing. And I was told that in grade 3, you need glasses. And I hated that because I made fun of people that had glasses. And I'm like, now I have to wear glasses myself? I can't be the person I used to be. Glasses help people see clearly, right? What happens if you fix only one eye but not the other one? You have this thing called double what? Double vision. If you see double vision, it's hard. You're not allowed to what? You're not allowed to drive. Why? Because you could see something that wasn't really there. Your vision is messed. If vision is not correct, you might not go in the direction you are expected to go. Amen? My sermon this morning is called The Vision of Who? The Vision of the Godhead. I don't know the last time you heard a sermon on the Godhead, or some people call it the Trinity. But that's my talk today. It's a series called The Dream Team, and I'll be doing this every 2 weeks. I'm going to start with a did you know? Did you know that even though we are called the people of the what? People of the Bible, people of the book, there are several doctrines that are either ignored or followed to a limited degree. Would you believe that? Do you think that we as a church, we've been around for a while, there's doctrines that we ignore, that we don't really follow? Here's an example of some neglected teachings. Number one, the priesthood of what? The priesthood of who? Some places say, you know what, we have to wait for the pastor to pray because only the pastor is holy enough to pray for the food. Some people say, you know what, you can't understand the Bible unless the pastor is explaining it. The Bible does not say that. The New Testament talks about the priesthood of all believers. Everybody should be able. We don't need to wait for the pastor to do this. We can do this on our own. We can learn. We can teach. We can share the message with other people. Amen? Number two, the biblical role of the pastor. I just covered that a second. The purpose of the pastor is not just to preach on Saturday mornings. The purpose of the pastor is not only to visit. The purpose of the pastor is to equip, to train, and to give resources to help the church grow. Amen? There's this person that we like listening to. Her name is Ellen White. And she said there should not be settled pastors. People are supposed to be doing the work themselves too. Do we talk about how to become the body of Christ? Some people go to church for years and they never work as a team. Have you ever been in a workplace where nobody's on the same team? You're always arguing, trying to compete with one another? We don't work on becoming the body of Christ. I'm going to talk about this more this year. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. What gifts do you have? What can you use to lift up God? It doesn't have to be preaching. You can do other things too. How to build a sense of community among the members. If people see this, they'll grow. Number three, incarnational evangelism. How do you show Christ to your family? Some people say, oh, you're Christian, but you go home and they're like, but you don't behave that way at home. Right? You don't behave that way in front of your friends. You at work, nobody knows you're Christian. How do you How do you show incarnational evangelism, becoming like Christ? So these are some neglected teachings. It doesn't mean that nobody does it, but some people, some of us, we don't always do it. And if we're not doing it, it's like we're on a treadmill. Have you ever been on a treadmill? Some of you are like, I'm going to do more of this year because I want to get in shape. In a treadmill, you're running, but are you going anywhere? If we don't follow these things, we're going to be going through the traditions week after week, month after month, year after year, and we're not going to go anywhere. Amen? All right. A startling prophecy in the book of Revelation indicates that in the last days, a people would arise. And these people would have excellent doctrine. They would have lots of truth. And yet they would try to organize their church based on their own ideas. And the results would be so off the mark, so disastrous, it would make God nauseous. Wow. Have you heard this before? To the angel of the church of the who? The Laodiceans, right? I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. So then, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will what? I will spit you or spew you out of my mouth. Is he talking to one person? He's talking to the church. The church of the Laodiceans. He's not doing it out of anger. He's not doing it because he hates this church. He sees their works. He sees what they're doing. But they're not united. It doesn't matter how many resources you have. If you don't know how to use them, it will never what? What is he standing on? Do you know that we have a library downstairs? Do you know we have an evangelism library downstairs? Do we use the material that's there, or has it been there for like years and nobody's really using them? Some people are not really using them. A lot of us are not really using them. We North Americans, we English-speaking North Americans have more resources for evangelism than any other language group, any other country in the entire world. Most of the scholars of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are English-speaking North Americans. We have more resources than anybody else, and yet we are not moving as fast as other divisions in the world are going. God's heart is pained by our neglect or our rejection of his plan. Imagine a farmer with enough land and seeds for 1,000 people, but they fail to water. They fail to fertilize. They're content with just a little crop. Do you realize, I asked this before, if this church, if in 2025, if you look around at this congregation right now, and I see there's people in the pews, but there's a lot of spaces in the pews. If every person here brought one person in 2025, we would double in size. If we did that for 2 years, there'd be no space in this church. Amen? Amen. And yet sometimes we are content with a little crop. We're like, hey, we baptized 2, 3, 4, a few people. We discipled a few people. And that's amazing. Amen. But why aren't we all doing something? Sometimes Christians argue. Do you know any Christians that argue? Do not raise your hand. Do you see Jesus in this picture? Do you see Jesus in this picture? He's kind of in the back, hand on his head. He's like, what are they arguing about? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Do you remember that argument? What is God? Is this God's vision for his followers that they would argue all the time? No, it's not. So what is God's vision? What did Jesus pray for? All right, I'm going to step back and ask, do you know who this guy is? Take a guess. Anybody? No, it's not King James. All right, he's a famous person that you have heard of. Nope. What is he holding? This is St. Patrick. Now, we don't believe in the saints, so we can just call him Patrick, but for the purpose. So this guy, Patrick, was born in Britain, not born in Ireland, near the end of the 4th century. He's believed to have died on what day? March 17, around 460. This is why people celebrate St. what? St. Patrick's Day. A lot of people celebrate it, and they don't know what's the purpose. You know, in Illinois, They would dye the river green. And you think, like, what about the fish? What about the other stuff that nobody drinks from the Chicago River? But they would dye the river green, right? People think, oh, we're going to wear green on March 17. We're going to go drink alcohol. Do not do that. That's not why St. Patrick is famous. He is famous. So here's what happened. At the age of 16 years old, Patrick was taken prisoner by a group of Irish raiders who were attacking his family's estate. They transported him to Ireland, and he spent 6 years in captivity there. And he found out how to share the gospel with this. What is this?
The clover.
How did he do this? Well, he said, you know, I believe in God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, do we follow three gods or one God? He said, see this plant, how many leaves is it? It's one leaf, but it's also three leaves. He used this object lesson to bring the gospel to Ireland. This is why March 17 is celebrated. It's not because of the color green. It's not because of alcohol. It's because the Trinity, the Godhead, was explained and shared with the Irish people. Amen? I'm not telling you to celebrate March 17. I'm just giving you this example of where it came from. So where did the concept of the Trinity come from? Well, back then, for those of you who don't know, the original church was the Catholic Church. The word means universal. And the Catholics decided things based on councils. They had the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Constantinople, the Council of Trent, and they debated and they discussed, what does the Bible mean? And so they had questions. They said, was Christ a created being? Or did he always exist? Was Christ really human, or did he just appear to be human? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? If Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all divine, how can they all be one? And so they would argue, they would debate. We today, we're not Catholic. We don't follow the councils that they did. We follow the Bible. The Protestants broke away and they said, we're going to follow the Bible and the Bible alone. Sola Scriptura, if you've heard that before. And so where did the concept of the Trinity or the Godhead come from? It came from this guy. It came from? We follow the Godhead because that's what Jesus taught. So let's go through some verses. John 8, verse 13. The Pharisees said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And Jesus said, I am one who bears witness of myself. And the who? The Father who sent me bears witness of me. And so they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus said, you don't know me or my Father. And he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus introduces the concept that God is his Father. He introduces the idea of God the Father. We get our understanding not from the writings of Ellen White. We got our writings from the Bible and specifically from the words of Jesus. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. He tells them later in John 8, I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Here's the Holy Spirit. In John 14, he says, but the helper, the who? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. In Luke 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give who? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so Jesus introduces the concept of the Trinity or the Godhead from the Bible. He tells them in other places, you know this verse, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the names? No, in the name, singular, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, but the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They share one name. Amen? You'll see this in the Bible if you were to look. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. That's the Holy Spirit. And God said, God spoke, let there be light. So God created. You have the Holy Spirit over the edge of the waters. And God's Son is His voice. God spoke. That's the Trinity there. If you go to the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Right? The Aaronic blessing. In the Old Testament, God is not called holy. He's not called holy, holy. He's called holy, holy, holy. Three. Right? You see glimpses of the Godhead in the Old Testament. Long ago, the Godhead dreamed about building something. It wasn't the ark. It wouldn't be built with wood or concrete. It would be built with who? It would be built with people. And they named it the what? They named it the church. This is my main point, and I want this to be clear. Church life is supposed to be a reflection of Trinity life. Imagine you spent a few months getting to know the Godhead. You decided, hey, can I stay with you for 3 months? Let's spend time. Let me get to know you. And you observed them. You listened to them. You took notes. How do they treat each other? How does the Father treat the Son? How does the Son treat the Holy Spirit? You know, if you want to get to know somebody, you live with them, right? You want to get to know a family? You spend time with them. How does the Trinity, how does the Godhead treat each other? How do they interact with the beings they created? What do they value? What is their priorities? Trinity life, the life of the Godhead, is supposed to be the life of the church. Is that the case today? It may not be the case, but it should be. Because our example is not just the example of Jesus. It's not just the example of God the Father. It's not just the example of the Holy Spirit. Our example is the Godhead together. Amen? Amen. Here's some quotes on the Trinity. These are just some other people. The doctrine of the Trinity is crucial for Christianity, and it is concerned with who God is, what He is like, how He works, and how He is to be approached. What sets Christianity apart from other religious traditions is the confession that the one God is Father, Son, and Spirit. So what do we believe? We believe that God is made up of three fully equal and divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We believe they have no beginning and they have no end. That means they always existed. They were always there. Amen? Amen. Christianity is monotheistic. Mono, one. Theistic, God. Because the members of Godhead are one in nature, in character, and in purpose. We do not worship three separate gods. Amen? Amen? The three members of the Trinity are distinct from each other within the divine union we call God. They are distinct, but together. The church should be distinct, but together. Amen? Amen. Everyone still following me? Sorry, I'm going to go into Hebrew. This is the word for God in Hebrew. This is Elohim. Say Elohim.
Elohim.
Elohim. It's read from right to left. So Aleph, Lamed, He, Yod, and Mem. So Elohim is a Hebrew word. It means God or gods. Although the word is plural in form, in the Hebrew Bible, it usually refers to a singular deity. A single deity. So this is God in Hebrew. El. Have you ever heard? Well, so El. So El Shaddai, El, you know, El. Elohim is how the Bible refers to the Godhead. Do you see this in the Bible? In your Bible, if you see L-O-R-D, if you see Lord, all in capitals, that is the word Elohim. That's the word, you know, the Lord created. That's how the God... So, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul picks this up too. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You see the Godhead throughout the entire Bible. So, this is what? What is this?
Tulip.
A flower or a tulip. Because the Godhead is a tri-unity, they have chosen to create a plural entity called the church to represent them. Okay? So this is a what? That's a bouquet of flowers. A bouquet is a singular word, but it's made up of multiple flowers. Amen?
Amen.
The Godhead is so loving and so complex and so amazing, it takes entire congregations to reflect, to begin to reflect who they are. So if you want to show who God is to other people, you can say, I'm going to show Jesus to you by the way I act. I'm going to show the Holy Spirit to you by the way I act. But if you want to show the Godhead to people, come to my small group. Come to prayer meeting. Come to potluck with us. Come see my Christian Adventist friends mingle together. The way we work together, that's how the Godhead should be. We should be like that, amen? Anybody ever done this? So this, do you know, this is a, has anybody ever done this or been part of something like this? Okay, if, I see at least one person has. If you go to a game like this, I'm not telling you to go to sporting events, but if you go to a game like this, they'll give you, they'll say, oh, you're sitting in this seat, take this card, hold it up at this time. And you look at the card, be like, what is this? It's like red or yellow or like parts of something. You don't know what part it is. And they're going to say, when we give you the signal, everybody grab your card and lift it up. And you'll see a picture happen. And everybody is supposed to do this. What happens if not everybody does this? Do you realize that that happens to our church sometimes? We're like, we are supposed to give one message. And people are like, well, I'm going to give this message. And it's fine, right? I'll give you an example. Sometimes we say, you know what? Healthy eating is important. We need to watch what we eat because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Good message, right? Other people say, stewardship is important. You know, we need to give back to God. Other people say, you know, I love children's ministry. This is important. But if you do this separately and you're not doing this all together, we are not showing a clear message to people. We need to be united together. Amen? I'm going to give one last part of this. This is not on my script, but in Revelation, the last few verses, verse 22, verse 16, Jesus says, I send my angel to testify to you these things. And in verse 17, Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Do you realize in the last days, the Spirit, the bride, those that hear, they all have the same message. That's because they're united. I shared this with somebody this week. If you look at a light bulb, right? A light bulb, does it show light? It shows light, but it shows it in different directions. If you take that light and you focus it and you turn it into a flashlight, you can direct people. You can look at your path, see where you stand and where you go. If you take light and you focus it more, it becomes a laser and it can cut through steel. Amen. Now, we as a church, we might share light everywhere. But if we can get focused, we can give people direction. If we can get focused, we can move. We can do amazing things, right? If you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say from this to this mountain, move from here to there, and nothing will be impossible for you. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be united to give a clear message to the world. Amen?
Amen?
God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. It took both Adam and Eve together to reflect the image of God. One of my friends asked me this question. She was like, I don't get it. Why can't a man be together with a man? Why can't a woman be together with a woman? And I said, you know, people can try to make that work, but if you want to reflect God, you need a man and a woman together. And she's like, I don't agree with you, but that's beautiful. It's okay. Not everyone's going to agree with you, with me or with you. So God's supreme achievement was not the creation of a solitary man or even the even a woman. God's supreme achievement in creation was the creation of a human community. Amen? It is only in our life together that God can truly be seen. This is the Shema. This is what they say in Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word one is over there. It's Echad in Hebrew. And that concept means one among others in a joined and shared oneness. So here's the example. This is why a father leaves his a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become what?
One.
They become one flesh. They're together. Jesus said this. He said he's praying to God just around the Last Supper. He says, "I don't pray for these disciples alone, but also for all who will believe in me through their word. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Keep them through your name, those you have given me, that they may be what?
One.
That they may be one as we are." That one is not really a sexual oneness. That is united in thought, in purpose, in action. You know, there's a song, Onward Christian Soldiers, and it says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. You know, Christians, we are united. So let me share with you God, the Godhead's vision for Israel. Israel was supposed to be a nurturing community of faith. So here's an example. In Leviticus, you shall not take vengeance, don't take revenge, don't bear any grudge against the children of your people. Do you know church members that hold grudges? Do not raise your hand. It was supposed to be a nurturing community of faith that does not hold grudges against one another. But you shall who? Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Can you imagine a church that where nobody holds grudges?
That'd be lovely.
All right. Number two, they would be known for their love and service to others. The stranger that dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. Do you know that the Jewish people were not supposed to be racist?
Amen.
And yet you hear them say, "Oh, you're a Gentile. You're not like this. You're not part of us. Oh, you're a Samaritan. Get away from us." The Jewish nation was told, the stranger who lives with you shall be as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. Why? Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is Leviticus. Number three, they were supposed to be a nation of wise and understanding people like Joseph and Daniel. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, therefore you should be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples who will hear these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. You know, there was this woman called the Queen of Sheba. And she heard about the wisdom of this famous guy named Solomon. And she came from far away to test him. And she tested him and she's like, wow, not only are you as wise as you heard, I've seen even more greater things. You know, she was amazed by it. By the way, this is a complete side note. If you read the Quran said the Quran is added to the Bible. It says these words are added on after the Bible. And they're the last chapters in a lot of the Bible stories. And if you read the Quran by itself, it doesn't make that much sense. No offense to the Muslims. Because they say, if you don't understand the story, ask the people of the book. Ask the people who've gone before us. Ask the Jews. Ask the Christians. Ask the Sabaeans. Who are the Sabaeans? The Sabaeans are the descendants of the Queen of Sheba. And they came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And they say, if you don't understand what the Quran is saying, go ask the people of the book. We can cover Islam and stuff later. Islam, as I mentioned before, Islam was one of my specialties when I studied in seminary. But we'll come to that later. Israel was supposed to be known for their skill, their creativity, and their innovation. I'm going to cover this at some point in the year, so I'm going to skip that right now. They were to be known as experts in agriculture and raising animals. We hear about country living. Have you heard of country living?
Yes.
They were supposed to be experts in it.
Yes.
By the way, have you heard of the year of Jubilee?
Yes.
So every six, the Jews were supposed to do this. They were supposed to work the land for 6 years. And on the seventh year, they were supposed to let it go fallow. They didn't follow that. They have never followed that. After 49 years, you have a 50th year. It's called the year of Jubilee. Have you heard of that? They have never celebrated the year of Jubilee because they never took it off. They never did that rest. The Jewish nation was supposed to have it, mental, emotional, and physical disease would be virtually unknown among them. You know this in Deuteronomy. The Lord will take away from you how much sickness? All sickness. And will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. Can you imagine this community that loves one another, that doesn't hold grudges, that is smart, that is wise, that is healthy? People would look at this community and say, I want to follow your God. Why are you like this? I want to be like you. Number seven, they would not be hermits or isolationist. Others would go to Israel and return and tell what they had seen, like the Queen of Sheba did. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord, for he has glorified you. Amen? With God's blessing, these lowly slaves would far surpass Egypt, and they would eventually become the greatest nation on the earth. Now it shall come to pass, it says at the end of Deuteronomy, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully, how many of the commandments? 9 of them? All his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. This was the promise. Is Israel high above all the nations of earth today? It's not. Do you know there are more Seventh-day Adventists in the world than there are Jewish people right now? There is. The number of Seventh-day Adventists has surpassed the number of Jewish people in the world. You know, from the lowest, they were the lowest of the low. They were the smallest nation. All of these qualities and accomplishments were intended to reveal to the world the life of the Godhead itself. That did not happen. On his way to Jerusalem before he got crucified, Jesus climbs up the hill, and Luke records that he's crying. He's crying over the city. It says in Matthew, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. You know, prophets came saying, hey, listen to God. Turn back to God. Follow the Bible. Follow the word of God. Israel's like, I'm not listening to you. We're going to kill the prophets. We're going to stone them. We're not going to respect the word of God. How often, Jesus said, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Helen Keller, have you heard of this person? The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And I say that again. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. You know what it says in Proverbs? It says, where there is no vision, the people what?
Perish.
The people perish. We need a vision for our church. Amen? On September, this is September 10, 2001. And this is the World Trade Center. Do you remember this building? This was designed by Minoru Yamasaki and Emery Roth and Sons. And they had a vision. They opened this vision in April 4, 1973. Were any of you there? Don't raise your hand.
No.
Their vision came to an end September 11, 2001. Two planes went through the World Trade Center. The buildings came tumbling down. They saw the devastation and they saw the end of the vision that they had. Because of Israel's failure, the Godhead's vision was now passed to the disciples of Jesus. Here's Acts of the Apostles. This is a really good book. This is not the Bible book. This is a companion book to the Bible. It is by Ellen White, but it's a really good book, and we're going through it in prayer meeting, in case you're curious. Page 15. But the people of Israel lost sight of their high privileges as God's representatives. They forgot God, and they failed to fulfill their holy mission. The blessings they received brought how many blessings to the world? No blessing to the world. Have you ever heard the National Geographic article that Seventh-day Adventists are part of the blue zones? Have you heard of that? That Seventh-day Adventists live 7 to 10 years longer than the average person? You know, if people came and learned from the Adventists on how to live longer, we wouldn't see just the Adventists. We would see the world living longer. But the blessings they received brought no blessings to the world because they did not share it. All their advantages, they appropriated for their own what? For their own glorification. This is sad. God gave so many blessings to Israel, and instead of saying go to the people, he said they stayed away from the people. They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. The restrictions that God had placed upon their association with idolaters as a means of preventing them from conforming to the practices of the world, they used to build a wall of separation between them and all other nations. This is sad. Christianity was supposed to go. And they said, no, we're going to stay. We're going to stay. We're going to just be with our own people. We're only going to be with the Jewish nation. We only like ourselves. God gave them restrictions and he said, don't mingle too much with them because you might become like them. But they're not meant to build a wall of separation. You know what happened? The Savior turned from them, turned from Israel, to entrust to others the work that they had slighted. God's glory must be revealed, and the disciples were called to do the work that the Jewish leaders had failed to do. So because of Israel's failure, the Godhead's vision was now passed to the disciples of Jesus. So what happened to the church? The church started off strong, right? It was a beautiful, universal church, preaching the pure message. But it started going through a lot of period of compromise. And God raised up people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, to bring people back. This was called the Protestant Reformation. There was this woman we talk about, Ellen White. She saw a vision about how people were heading to heaven. But they were depending on the stuff they brought. And more as time got closer, they started depending less and less on the things that they brought and more on God. Until they fully depended on God in the last days. What are we going to do? Prophets and Kings. This is the book just before, two books before Acts of the Apostles. That which God purposed to do for the world through Israel, he will finally accomplish through what? Through his church on earth today. Not through one person, not through the work of the pastors only, not through the work of the elders or the teachers only, but through the church today. Maybe this is a scary thought. God delights in using any Christian in any denomination who is willing to partner with him. God is not limited to Seventh-day Adventists alone. Here's an example. At the time of Jesus' birth, he used wise men from the east to honor his son. They were pagan astrologers, you know? And they followed the star because they believed in the prophecies. God's not limited to using only Seventh-day Adventists to accomplish his work. Nevertheless, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a unique role to play in Earth's at the end of Earth's history. We are the inheritors of a dream that the Godhead had since the Old Testament times. And it was to reveal the glory of God, the glory of the Godhead to the world. You've heard this verse before. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach, the good news to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Some of you know I was working as a software engineer, and one of the women that was there with me, she was Jewish. And I asked her, I said, hey, you're Jewish. How come you guys never, like, share about, you know, do you want to become Jewish? And she's like, why would anybody want to become Jewish? Do you know how many rules we have to follow? We have to memorize so many things. I said, well, do you like being Jewish? She's like, of course, I like being Jewish, but I would not wish this on anybody. And I said, so what do you do? Like, because we go to church on Sabbath, we do outreach. She's like, what's outreach? Wow. And I said, you know, we share about God. She's like, oh, yeah, we're not going to share about God. We're going to spend time together with only Jewish people. We're going to eat the food that we prepared for ourselves. And we're going to enjoy time with family. We love it. And I said, yeah, but you don't want to share this with other people? No. Why would we do that? We don't need to do that. The everlasting gospel is supposed to go out to the world, not just stay here. The salt is supposed to go out of the salt shaker, right? Salt in the salt shaker does nothing. Salt out of the salt shaker makes a difference. Amen? What is God? Is this God's vision for his followers that Christians argue all the time? It's not. It doesn't matter how many resources you have. If you don't know how to use them, it will never be enough. God's heart is pained by our neglect or rejection of his plan. Imagine a farmer with enough land and seed for thousands, but we fail to water, we fail to fertilize, and we are content with just a little crop. It's really sad. God's vision for his followers, what is it? I pray for them, not for those in the world, but for those that have been given to God, for they are yours. I pray, he says, keep them through your name, those you have given me, that they may be what? That they may be one as we are. God's vision, Jesus' prayer, is that the church would represent the Trinity. That the way the Trinity, the way the Godhead is united in purpose, in action, would be the same way the church is united in purpose and in action. And if we are not there, we should strive to be there. Amen? So that is part one. That's the vision of the Godhead. But I'm going to ask, are you willing to let that be your vision for 2025? That you want to be more, not like Jesus, not like God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, but more like the Godhead in 2025. Amen. This is not just an appeal for us individually. This is an appeal for our church collectively. Amen. Dear Lord and our loving Father, we want to thank you for the vision that you had way back at the beginning. You didn't plan just to have one man or one woman. You planned a biblical community. And you planned the church to represent you, to represent the Godhead. We ask, dear Lord, that you forgive us for the times when we haven't been the best example of a church to the people around. We haven't been the best example to the church as a church to our own people. And we want to ask, dear Lord, that 2025 would be the year that we catch your vision and that we unite as a biblical community, that we grow together and that we can share the blessings you've given us with all those around. So please watch over us today. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.